Rich, thanks for joining me to talk through the experience that you've had in the last couple of weeks. Maybe you could start off by just giving us a brief description of the business, what kind of scale it operates at, and then we can move into some kind of the actions that you've been taking.
Yeah, hi, I'm Richard from Palmer Barbers, founder. Basically, I've got a brand, a business, a barbering business, which has 8 stores. We have 7 in the UK and 1 in New York City.
Okay, and just briefly, what's the kind of the process been like for you over the last few weeks, kind of going from the immediate outbreak of coronavirus to the point that we're at now?
Well, the process has been kind of alarming, really. So 3 weeks ago, we were trading quite normal. And, you know, everything was fine. You know, we heard on news sort of some stuff coming. And then basically, you know, it started to affect our business. And it went from normal to sort of trading at 80%. Just tourism sort of disappeared. And then it went down to sort of 20%. And then it went down to 0. So we kind of had a bit of a taper, you know, fading to 0 over a couple of weeks.
Okay, so you were obviously an example of a business which was deemed non-essential, so had to close. You can't have people working from home. People can't have a haircut when people are working from home. So you had to make the decision to close the doors, but then you're obviously left with a lot of fixed costs which aren't going anywhere. What kind of conversations did you have with landlords? You have multiple sites, with the bank, with all the parties that you needed to, and what kind of progress have you made on that front to better look after your business in a period when you don't really know when this is going to end?
Yeah, well, I think with the landlords, it's kind of interesting because generally our business model is to have long leases. You know, we're a long player. We want to build, you know, create destinations over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our leases are quite long term. That, you know, I'm a long, you know, look at the long term of stuff. So really, this is a road bump for landlords. So my conversation to them has been really like, you know, what can you do to support us get over this road bump? And we've had various different sort of conversations and support. Most of them have been very helpful, you know, and sort of understand the situation. So which has been great, really. Some have been outstanding and amazing. Where we had one store in a train station, TfL, they shut the train station. So they just, you know, were really generous with us straight away. You know, not we didn't even have to ask. They come to us.
Okay. And when you have been going to them, what have you found? I don't know if it's a tone of voice or anything like that, but are you having to go to them with numbers, scenarios, or is it really just a case of going, look, everybody's in this kind of situation, work with us kind of thing?
Yeah, I think generally when you, because obviously the situation is, you know, they want tenants and they want tenants to be trading, because if when this is all said and done in 3 to 6 months or 9 months time, if retailers aren't there and they've all gone bust because they can't pay the rent, like in the short term, they're going to have all this property back. And, you know, there's going to be no businesses to replace that. So I think the reality is it's mutual, you know, a mutual thing for landlords to actually, you know, help you out through this period.
Okay. And then what about with kind of the banks, that kind of thing? How have you approached conversations there?
For me, it's about relationships and building relationships over a long period of time. So I've been with NatWest for many, many years. And I have a very good banking history with them, you know, which I've built over, you know, borrowed money, loans, paid it back, borrowed money, loan, you know, open stores, built my business from nothing into something. So there's a big track record there. So really, the reality is when I've gone to them and spoke to them, it's just we're having a conversation about what's the right way to approach, you know, what do we need and how's the best way to do the applications, and, you know, what can we actually, what's available to us, what help's available, and so on. So for me, I think it's about building that rapport over a long period of time. But even if it's building the rapport in a short period of time as a tip, and understanding, you know, what's on offer, really, what you can gain from the loan scheme at the moment.
Okay. And when you say building that rapport over a short period of time, what's your advice for how to do that effectively based on your experience?
Well, I'm talking about instant rapport. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about how you get people to like you, you know, to want to help you, you know, not be rude to people for one, mm-hmm. Is to look at people, make them laugh and engage with them and have, you know, proper conversations. I know everyone's a bit stressed at the moment, but if everyone's desperate and sort of putting pressure on people, you're probably going to get less help than if you're actually quite positive and you're looking at, you know, looking at the bright side, you know.
Okay. And from your initial conversations with your bank, what kind of information are they asking from you to be able to support you in the ways that you're looking for?
They're asking for a lot of information.
Okay.
They are asking for a lot. Yeah. So, you know, there's a big amount of questions they're asking. And they're asking for projections. They're asking for, like, they want to see your business is viable. So, you know, and I think that there's going to be a lot of casualties in this process, but they're offering this loan scheme. I see it as a bridge. Mm-hmm. It's just a bridge to the other side. And they want to make sure that your business can make it to the other side. So you're not going to get halfway there and not make it, you know? So I think they have to be, generally, in my opinion, they have to make sure that, you know, that you've got the legs to get to the other side, really. And I think that's why they have to do the projections and you have to go into quite a lot of business analysis. But also, I think that's very helpful because then it actually means you can focus on your numbers and where you can reduce costs and expenses and so on.
OK, so for you in your individual case, what are you kind of doing to take to them that's going to give them the confidence to give you the finance if you do decide to go down that route and take finance from the bank through the government scheme? What are you going to be presenting them to show that, to give them the confidence that your business is going to be able to get to that other side?
Well, I think it's longevity. It's just longevity that, you know, everyone needs a haircut. Everyone, you know, a lot of people need beard trims, you know. People want to look good. You know, it's in our nature. To, you know, self-esteem and stuff like that. You know, we're having a lot of posts on social media about people saying about, oh, I'm missing my barber, I need my haircut. and we're getting into this period of the COVID comb over, you know, where everyone's hair is growing quite long. But the reality is it's just painting the picture. You've got a viable business. You had a viable business before. You were trading really, really well before. You know, what are the strengths of that? And then basically what you think, how long it's going to take you to get back to that point. And that's really what they're offering on the loan system is that part, you know, that bridge to get you back to where you were before and how long you think it's going to take.
OK, one final thing, the interesting element, another interesting element to your business is the sites in both US and UK, New York and London specifically. How are things different over there? And are you having to take a drastically different approach to kind of business preservation in London compared to New York? What's the scenario like?
Well, I think, like, you know, looking at New York, we're in like quite an iconic building and they actually shut the building in New York. So every shopping mall and every, you know, thing was shut down quite quickly. And there was no one around, so it was very difficult for us to trade. And then they shut the building down. So it's kind of like we couldn't trade if we wanted to, and then the government shuts down anyways. Mm-hmm. So we're in a bit of a different situation there where I think New York is a lot harder hit. So it's going to be because of obviously the metros and close proximity of people. I just think that that's going to go on for quite a lot longer. But also there's a lot of chaos there. So everything keeps changing. They're kind of being reactive. So the information we're getting is changing daily. So you think, oh, this is it. And then the next day it's something else, it's something else, it's something else. So it's very hard to make a call on something, you know, to have a get a steady or an average when every day something else is coming on. I was listening to the news last night and they told me, you know, told me about something completely different, which 2 days ago I got the information about, and then you're really confused. So that's obviously reacting to the situation, which they're doing something, which is great, but still it's very hard to make any calls. I've made some calls to my bank, you know, spoke to my bank manager there. He's just said, Rich, we don't know what's going on yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't got any information. When it does, you know, we're working through it, we'll let you know. And it feels like that's how it is at the moment there.
Okay, so very much a UK set of circumstances giving you much better setup to make informed decisions and be confident that they're the right one, at least for a week or so. But the US, much more fluctuating, sounds like it.
Yeah, and also what we're finding as well, that with the US there's a lot of like policy and red tape. So what you find is you go through and you fill out the application forms, and then you get right to the end and then you realize you're not eligible for that part, and they've okay. got loads of different parts. So yeah. It's kind of like, it's a bit like that. Whereas I think in the, you know, the UK seems, even though it's a bit, it's still not 100%, it's not perfect, it feels like we're a lot more, we're further on down the line with it.
Yeah.
You know, okay. You know, that's the way I feel at the moment.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Rich. It's really interesting to hear how you've responded as a multi-site business and with something going on in America. So thank you for that. Hope you're able to make some further progress with stuff. And like you said, we'll always need haircuts and beard trims. So at least there's definitely that to hold on to. But thank you very much for sharing.
No problem.